This is a stand-up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
What's up, everybody? It's your pal Ian here. It's been a bit of a weird week. I'm not going to get into it, but I'm here and I'm excited for today's episode. We got a real good talk coming up with a guy who I've admired for a while. I've been a fan of his work. I've been a fan of his art. His name's Cheyenne Randall, and he goes by Indian Giver on Instagram. And a lot of his work is taking old celebrity photos and then photoshopping American traditional tattoos onto the bodies. A lot of famous work he's done is Marilyn Monroe, Elvis, JFK. I have a shirt of his that I've gotten people on the street come up to me and ask me where I got it. It's Audrey Hepburn covered in tattoos. Very interesting. When I make enough money, I'm getting a print of his with Jimi Hendrix covered in tattoos. I don't know, I have it in my living room. It's going to be sick as shit. But a couple years ago, I was in Seattle, and I hit him up just as a fan and said, hey, I'd love to check out your studio. And we ended up hanging out, bonding, having a good time. We really saw eye to eye on a lot of things. And we hadn't spoken in a while, and we talked on the phone today, and his story is just so inspiring and incredible to see where he's gone, what he's been through, and where he's at now. And I really needed to hear it, especially in a darker time of dealing with sobriety and self, and hearing someone so on fire with the gift of sobriety and being attuned with the spirits that are around them. It's really, really something to behold, and I'm excited to share it with you. So this is a conversation with my friend, Cheyenne Randall. Cheyenne.
Yo, what's up, man?
Yo, what's up, dude? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. What are you getting into?
Not much, man. I just got done signing print work, but also just walked away from a house that we were hoping to get. My lady piece and me, and we got it, so we're pretty stoked right now.
No way, you're gonna get a home?
Yeah, renting, but still, it's like it's the space that I needed to, like. So I've been like basically moved away from Seattle like the day that I got sober, and. So it's like 150 days or something close to. And I've been like living out of a backpack basically since then. Luckily, I've been pretty busy, so I barely noticed up until recently when I really just needed to settle down. And so it's been kind of an agonizing way to find out if we're going to get this house, but we got it. So I'm pretty excited. I've got a 2-car garage. I'm turning into an art studio as soon as I get in there.
No
and,
way.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I've been, right before I left Seattle, I was painting a lot, like actually painting something that I'm not known for. And it felt really good because it felt like it was like mine, you know what I mean? It's like I haven't really like dirtied it up by putting it on the internet yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited to get back into painting because it was just, was sort of like onto something, I think. And I was abruptly interrupted by, the divine intervention of getting sober. Yeah. What's
new
with you, dude?
That's huge, man. I love hearing stuff like that. That's awesome. You're 150 days sober. You've been living out of a backpack, and now you're gonna have a place to go to turn into a studio. That's incredible.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Feels
good. Feels really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Full disclosure. Is it cool if I am recording for the podcast?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Great. Things are good with me, man. I know the last time, well, when I was in Seattle last year, I had hit you up. Because I'd always been a fan of your work, and you had me come to your studio and everything. And so you don't have that studio anymore.
No, I don't. Actually, that was two studios ago. It's been that long already. Dang. Yeah, that was the place I had with Dominic, with Bill Whitenave. He and I were that was off Second in Washington. I moved like two blocks away to a new studio, which was pretty cool for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Until I started to just like completely just it turned into my own little personal jail cell that I created for myself. And so it was like, but yeah, that was the old place we had was great, man. That was a really cool spot. Except it was right above those shelters, which was like, holy moly, the energy coming out of that street right there was insane. But it was like legit insane. I think I'm native and I'm about that smudge life. You know what I mean? And I have to get all those dirty spirits off me, and like, there was no amount of smudging that could have been done in that house. It was like I could see spirits, man, and it was like a steady flow of like spirits coming in that window, man. It was crazy.
What is smudging?
Smudging, just like removal of all negative spirits and lingering negative energy, dark energy, things like that. Something that is like, as addicts, I think it's, it clings to alcoholics and things like that. Like I definitely am like a magnet for dark and negative energy when I'm drinking and stuff. And so it was like, by clear, it's a clearing, basically. It's just clearing the space with smoke and asking the spirits to leave the environment in which you're in so that you can have peace.
Oh, wow.
So you do that by burning sage and clearing out spaces and letting the smoke go out the windows and such.
Interesting. I had, you're talking about your own prison years ago. When I was drinking, I lived in, a one bedroom apartment in an attic in a farmhouse. Mm-hmm. And a buddy of mine came over and we burned frankincense. We burned sage to try to get it out, yeah. And whenever someone would come to the apartment, they'd be like, dude, there's something evil here. It is just,
yeah.
Did this apartment come with a revolver? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I love it. It's great. And,
I know, man. I had, by all aesthetics and everything, it looked like I found my dream place in Seattle, and I loved it. It was huge. It was just like this giant, like basically essentially a two-story space with like a loft in it and giant ceilings. And I was like, oh, I'm going to do everything here. And I didn't realize I was talking about drugs and alcohol. So I just ended up just like isolating so hard in there, and like literally like I was like, why aren't people coming to my house, man? I got the spot,
yeah.
And I realized like, and it was like it took a couple people who like came over who knew what the hell was up, and they were just like, dude, there is like you got like a party in here, dude. And there's like a slew of motherfuckers just like in here right now. And I'm like, oh dude. And I knew it eventually. I was like, this can't last, man. I'm going down. This whole thing's going down,
Yeah.
And it sure enough did. It was, it went on way too long, if you ask me. But yeah, so sober, dude.
That's great, man. Yeah. I mean, being sober has so many different gifts and so many different trappings of sobriety. You have to change a lot. Have you found, I mean, initially before you got sober, I know that when I first met you, we immediately went to a deli so you could get a beer, and it was like 1 yeah. p.m. and the alcoholic in me was like, this like light went off, but then like the sick side of me was like, damn, dude, that rules.
Yeah, man, I think there's like, I don't know if that will ever, I don't know, man. The way that I got sober, I was scared for my own safety and my life. So I don't know if it'll be hard for me to romanticize drinking again at any point in time, but I'm sure eventually on a hot summer's day when I drive by a bunch of people drinking Hefeweizen with those orange fucking slices in them and shit, I'll probably be like, damn, that looks delicious. But,
right.
But yeah, dude, my habits were so unhealthy. I came to a point where it became it was like my thing, you know what I mean? Because of the art and everything like that, I got away with it for way too long. I used to just tell people, like, this is what I do. I do what I want when I want. I drink at 4 a.m. if I want, if I want to crack a beer, it's like I can, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's amazing how much you'll believe your own bullshit. Just, you know, the addict in you will just try to keep that going for as long as you can. And, you know, for a while there, I was able to maintain that, you know what I mean? I was able to just, like, kind of live that faked out life, you know what I mean? And so, until it was just my health started to just go down, my, like, dude, it was crazy, man. My mental state started to deteriorate really quick, and I became extremely paranoid and just, like, freaked out. So I was doing a lot of drugs. And it's something I haven't really told a lot of people, but it's part of my story, you know? And,
yeah.
And that really got me. That chipped away at my psyche real quick. Hang on a second here. We're trying to corral some dogs. I don't know where the leash is. I don't know what I did with it. One moment here. I got to get my backpack. Oh, here it is. We're about to go sit at a coffee shop. I've been staying out of this farm, this little Airbnb place out, like, I don't know, about an hour outside of Sacramento, and, like, there's no Wi-Fi, and, like, what I do, like, requires total 5G lifestyle.
Oh, wow.
Computers, stuff like that, so we're about to go sit at a coffee shop and do some stuff, but I can bring some stuff, so I can talk to you.
Nice.
I
can totally relate, especially to the paranoia and the mental deterioration and how that kind of just engulfs you and you succumb to it, and you really, you know, it's to be trapped in your own hell is it's a very, very scary place to be. And you feel that once you put down the drugs and alcohol, that kind of lifted, or did you still feel remnants of that?
Oh, man, well, it's crazy, man. I kind of, like, the only real way I can describe it is by getting, like, fully into describing about, like, the process of it. And it was, like, for me, it became a very spiritual, there's, like, this, you know, it's like, you know what your calling is in life, right? And when you don't listen to it, or you actually disrespect it to a certain degree, I started showing up in really, really weird, like, weird ways. Like, there's a whole, like, this topic's on this conversation about, like, you know, it's called, like, gang stalking and shit, right? Well, I experienced something kind of similar, which is, like, my whole neighborhood started to sort of, like, turn on me. And I was convinced that, you know, there was a smear campaign going on around me. And sure, there may have been, I don't have no idea. But really what it was is that I think it was the creator, and it was sort of my guardian angels. Only real way to show me that if you don't get sober now, dude, like, you're done. You know what I mean? Because I was really suicidal. I was walking around in my house with a knife, and I was giving the finger to the ceiling and to, like, the wall. You know, it was crazy. It was like I was angry, and I was pissed. I didn't really want to be here anymore. You know, and I know that, like, my best friend died when I was in, like, when I was, like, 25. My dad died when I was a senior in high school. And I've always felt that their presence really had a huge effect on sort of where I go in life and how I even behave and who I am. And I had sort of, like, abandoned all my spiritual beliefs and feelings and ended up in that prison, right? And so then what happened was I'd go outside, and, like, literally people's faces started changing when they saw me. It was almost like they could... It was almost as if everybody knew exactly... Like what I was doing to myself, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And there was a shame, there's a level of shame, there's a level of embarrassment, there's a level of just total sadness. And people were just staring at me everywhere I went. It was just like, just these faces, right? And I just started to get scared. I was like, why the fuck is everybody looking at me? Why is everybody laughing at me? Why is this, like, why are people giving me, like hardcore, like, demonic looking faces, like, laughing and shit like that, like smirking and laughing at me and shit, right? And so I was like, dude, it got to a point where it was just like, dude, yeah, I was living that, like, every day for, like, a little while, and to where it was like the police showed up at my door. Now, I don't even know how the police knew to come to my door, but they came to my door, and it's like I was walking around with a knife in my studio, and I was like, I'm gonna do this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, the angels, the guardian angels. I really believe in guardian angels. I really believe that there's a network of not people, but like, you know, there's a network of energy, of a network of I guess people, I'll just say people for the sake of us, you know, what I'm talking about, working really hard on the other side and trying to, you know, lead us in the right direction in life and stuff. And they had become, I think, so frustrated at watching me just like, just work away at like killing myself that they pulled some really scary shit to get me to get sober. Because what happened was, is that I ended up, I was putting it, you know, I was putting a needle in my arm, like, for every day for a year, and I walked away from it. I stopped. And I, what I was doing is, people don't just walk, there's a very small percentile of people who go from putting a needle in their arm to just walking away from it, you know?
Right.
And, I mean, I was scared shitless, dude. I thought I was done. I literally thought I was done. And so, yeah, I don't know. I got a little off topic there. You might have to chop that up and edit it so it sounds
No, I love it, man. I love it.
Yeah, it was crazy, dude. It was the craziest thing that I've ever experienced. But I'm grateful for it in so many ways. You know, I've had some people explain to me, like, you know, that, like, a lot of times people will say, like, why is this happening to me and all stuff. And I've learned so much to just be like, not to ask why is this happening, but what is this teaching me? You know what I mean? What do I need to learn? What am I not getting? Basically, it's
interesting.
Like, now I look at every situation like that now with, like, actually, it's not, you're not a victim, dude. You're being gifted with an opportunity to take a look at what the hell you're doing wrong. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't listen to it, dude, I think it's a choice. Like, you can either choose to, like, fucking go down, or you can save yourself. You know what I mean?
And how do you save yourself?
You stop, man. You stop doing anything. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, for me, it was like, okay, I know exactly, dude. I know exactly what's killing me. You know what I mean? I know exactly what I can't get enough of. You know what I mean? And all of those things, you gotta stop. You gotta, there's no other way to put it. You know what I mean? And if that means going into a rehab, if that means, you know, moving, doing a geographical, whatever it is, whatever it takes, just stop. Just got to do that. You know what I mean? For me, it was a geographical, but also for me, it was getting back to the earth. So the first thing that I did is I went up to Oregon, and I went way up into the mountains, and I just chilled up there for like 2 weeks. I did my first 10 days like in nature, and I would like, that's my suggestion to anybody, man. It's like, if you're gonna get sober, you gotta ground down, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of healing in just being in nature in itself, you know. I actually heard that, like, in London or England somewhere, doctors are now prescribing nature as a prescription for depression.
Interesting.
I believe it.
Yeah, that's so wild.
Yeah. But yeah.
That's,
you gotta walk away, man. There's just, it's like, you know, and the thing is that it's like, it's either your time or it isn't your time. You know what I mean? Some people need to, like, really go there. That for me was there. I mean, I'm 40 years old, and I tried to get sober for the first time when I was 18 years old. So, you know, you do the math on that. It's like 22 years of, like, trying to figure that out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Trying to fool myself and all those around me that I, you know, I could do it. You know what I mean? Because the longest I got sober, and not, that whole time was 2 years, and that was when I was 21 years old. And I've you know, since that, it was just like constantly, just trying to, like, balancing act of addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I think that's really important. You, when I said, "How do you fix it? How do you save it?" You go, "You just stop."
Yeah, I don't know how the way to put it, man. I mean, it's like, you can talk about it all day long. Yeah, I'm gonna quit soon, or I gotta quit soon. But I think you gotta get fucking hit. You know what I mean? And that's what happened to me. I got slammed, dude. I got everything turned inside out for me. And it's still, so like you had mentioned, did it sort of stop after I got sober? And it's like, no, I don't think that we don't get to learn lessons that easily. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I have a sensation that I'm being watched 24/7. And, you know, obviously in this day of, like, surveillance, we probably already are anyways. But I mean on a more of like a the creator, you know, or like, this really put me in touch. Like, I'm not an atheist. Like, I've always believed in something, but now I'm like, I'm even more, like, I can't. There's nothing anybody can tell me anything different, that there's not some magnificent power behind all this, and that it's saddened when we don't love ourselves, and it's a level of pain, and I think that we are watched, and it really brings a lot of discord when we harm ourselves, you know, and so I constantly feel this like vigilant, like sort of presence that like I need to do the right thing, live the right way, and like in balance and harmony, and like treat my body right, treat those around me right, or else I think that the shit starts to pick up like pretty quickly again. I feel like people in the neighborhood start to look at me strange and shit. I think that's another force that's unexplainable, you know. Yeah.
Did you find, you know, while you're going through all of this, you're creating, you're making, and
yeah.
Did you find that, how is this affecting you creatively? Because you're speaking on a spiritual level, on a level of self, in terms of furthering yourself and getting better and well. But at the same time, you still have a duty to make and create and put out so that others can enjoy what you're doing. How was that affected during this process?
Yeah, it's a trippy thing to like still try to like live your life. You know, well, are you talking like before I got sober, or even like just after?
I mean, in the process of this, you know, because also too, at the same time, you have to project an image online of how things are and what you do. I mean, most of the things that you share are just complete finished products of art. So you don't really reveal yourself too personally.
Right.
But
I think like for me, it's my movie. Thank you. I think for me, it's, you know, like I had a show, an art show in LA on October 19th.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just right around my like 90 day mark. And before that, I was kind of just like, and that's the thing too, is that I was like, staying with friends, you know, kind of just like hopping around. I drove up and down the 101 like 5 times to get put stuff in storage in Seattle and go back to San Francisco and start working on my panels. And I think like being an artist, like it's, you know, for me, it's sort of what saved me, I think, in a lot of ways, because having that outlet of having something to do, having something to look forward to, work towards, is something that really helped me. I mean, that helped me out a lot for sure. But I just, you know, the show in LA was great and all, but it was kind of like not really what I'm aiming for, you know what I mean? I'm not really trying to like to be this like shop tattoos like artist forever and like working out of LA, and LA's such a weird vibe. And I mean, it was cool, but it was like, it was more just about something for me to work towards, you know what I mean? And stay busy. I had built all my own hand panels, you know, panels out of wood, poured them all in resin and stuff like that. Took a lot of like concentration, so it helped me with my sobriety, and just being able to do that. If I didn't have my art, dude, I don't know, man. I mean, it's like I can't spend time speculating how other people do their sobriety and how they get it. It's like I only got enough for me, you know. Right now, it's but if I really think that if I didn't have that outlet, that it just scares me to shit and it scares me to dick, and thinking like what I would be doing in place of that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, did you find that based on your mental state, the art that you were creating and putting out, was that reflective of what was going on? Or did you draw a line between, I'm not going to let these feelings and what's going on mentally be reflected in my art? Like did the art change? Cause I know when I'm going through something, I have a very hard time, when I'm on stage, you know, sometimes I just want to scream and be like, I don't want to fucking be here. This is fucking miserable. You know, you people are all empty. I'm empty. This is terrible. Fucking kill me. But you know, you have to be like, hey, how y'all doing tonight? You having fun?
No, I think that it was very efficient, because part of my sobriety has been not to live in fear, you know, not to be afraid of my own demons, and to not, you know, because if you, because for me, it's like if I live in that state, then I'm toast. You know what I mean? I'm just as good as like, I might as well just like
right.
You know, I'm back in that prison again. You know what I mean? And so,
but when that creeps in, how do you force that out? How do you actively get that out? Because it does come back. It does creep in. It won't go away. You know?
Yeah, I expect it to come back throughout the rest of my life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The way that I've done that is that I have rituals now, dude. Like when I wake up in the morning, like I don't allow myself to go more than, let's say, the first like hour of the morning without at least having sat down and like spoken out loud about what my intentions are for the day, giving thanks, being grateful, and giving gratitude has been a huge, huge part of like the process of getting sober. And so I think
interesting
tying that back into how that reflects in my work. I think honestly, I think it's really only making my work stronger. I think that like my, you know, obviously being, I think sober, like I used to live under this like idea that being, you know, I used to romanticize that like this like sort of like, you know, artist lifestyle where I created in me all these like moments of like pain and all, that's where I derived all my inspiration. It's like, well, I'm well past that now. It's like, I don't even entertain those thoughts anymore. I think that's a bunch of garbage. I mean, at least for a person who's, you know, I'm 40 years old, I don't need to be out there, you know, doing all this crazy shit anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
To derive inspiration. And so, like, I think some of the stuff that I put out, like, for the show for LA, like, you know, that was, I did like, 10 panels, and I think that stuff came out beautiful. Some of my best, like, work when it comes to, like, mixed media. And I think some of the digital stuff I've put out recently sort of reflects this newer sort of newfound sort of like what I think is like a view on life. You know what I mean? Yeah, there's a lot of crazy shit that goes down here, and there's a lot of pain. But like, I feel that I've been able to sort of like take that and sort of compress it into something beautiful. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all about the life experience. We come here on this planet. Like, I don't think we all come here for Club Med, you know what I mean? We don't come here just to have it easy. I think we come here to learn all that shit, you know what I mean? I think once the sooner that we can, you know, realize that, dude, I actually came here to experience this stuff. I came here to experience the hardships and, like, the brutal blows to, you know, to my idea of what safety is and all that stuff. And so, yeah, I don't know. I think I'm finding it beneficial as an artist. That's where I'm finding my new inspiration is in my own crazy little experience in getting sober, you know?
Yeah.
But I know I ramble a lot.
No, I love it, man. I think there's a lot of wisdom in what you say, especially in, you know, the idea of a ritual and the idea of waking up and within that first hour, speaking your intentions. That's something I fall short on, you know? And it's hard when you have someone sleep over, you stay somewhere else, you know, with someone laying next to you, and you're like, hold on, I'm going to speak out my intentions for the day.
Right. Oh, definitely, dude. It cannot feel like a great opportunity, but like, for me, it's when I notice what happens when I don't do that. I mean, I'm not going to lie. There's times when I start to split, but when I start to feel, I don't have like a place like for frustration. I don't have,
right.
I start to feel overwhelmed with like, almost like anger and like these vibes that like really can be all too consuming, fear and stuff like that. And so what I found is that it really comes down to that simple act of prayer, you know what I mean? And that doesn't mean you have to pray to God or to Jesus or anything necessarily. It just means just speaking out loud, because I believe in self-manifestation. I believe in that, you know, that we create a lot of the environment in which we you know, we experience. And so, you know, like there's this whole thing going on, you know, it's so weird. Like everything that like, I've always like believed or experienced, it seems like the collective consciousness is really real, because all the things that I'm going through, it's like, I also start seeing memes on them and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like all over Instagram, it's like, you're creating your reality. And I'm like, oh, people weren't talking. I don't remember people talking about that shit last year. You know what I mean? But I'm glad and grateful for it, because we all need the reminder that like, I really do believe that our minds are really powerful and that they do influence the, you know, the way that we are experiencing our perception of reality. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
yeah,
prayer is one of them, man.
I really need to hear that and to have this conversation, because I'm completely engulfed by fear right now. I have no ritual. You know, I'm coming up on of 4 years, you know, no booze in April. Yeah. But it's like, man, I am not living sober. My mind is a fucking trash can, you know?
I need
to get back to the basics of waking up and be grateful, you know, putting my intentions in the air, and hearing you be on complete fire with sobriety is inspiring. And I really have been in a bad and dark place, and just hearing this conversation makes me think, oh, I'm not stuck. I'm choosing to be stuck.
No, well, and not only that, but also, like, you know, the fact that you're conscious of that in itself is already means that the work's at play. You know what I mean? In my mind, the way that I believe is that the fact that you're aware of that, conscious of it, you know what I mean, it means that somewhere in there you're you know, there's you're in there saying, hey, dude, I am ready. You know what I mean? I'm ready to, you know, move into the next phase or whatever this is. You know what I mean? And it's hard. Dude, it's like, it's not easy. There's so much out there that, I mean, what I honestly do, but like, this sounds like, it just sounds like silly to even have a conversation, but it's so true. When I first started praying out loud, I felt embarrassed. I was like, somewhat like, somebody's listening to me right now, and I sound silly. And like, that left after about a week of doing it out loud. You know what I mean? It's
right,
like, that's
right.
You're like, dude, my spirituality, my sobriety means so much more to me than anything else, dude. Like, anything else. Dude, like, without that, dude, I'm done. You know what I mean? And so,
right.
If that means sitting down in the morning and just kind of like with my coffee or whatever, and just like going sitting outside and just being like, yo, fucking blue sky, dude, I need some help today. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know what I mean? And just saying it out loud. Like, you know, like you get to a place where you're just like, I don't give a shit. Who the fuck hears me? Because this is between me and this fucking planet and this experience. You know what I mean?
Man, that's so important and so simple. And it gets complicated, especially with technology and online and Instagram, where you project this image and then you're like, is this fucking real? What is real? I'm making it out to be like I'm fantastic, but really I feel so deep and dark and terrible. And then do I project that into the world? And then everyone's like worried, like, what the fuck do you do? Like my next step, I just want to unplug it all. I just want to get rid of it all.
Dude, there's definitely, that's what I call the collective for sure, dude. So it's funny because this morning, last night, I just was like having this real big issue with social media. I'm just like, you know, it's like my job, social media, you know what I mean? Like, that's like where I post an image and I say, hey, I'm really excited about this print that I made, or this image I made, it's for sale. And then I get to eat, you know what I mean? Because people supported it, and that's amazing. But at the same time, the platform itself is, I truly believe, is designed to make people feel insecure, to feel like they didn't get to go on the fucking, where's their trip to Hawaii?
Mm-hmm.
Where's their fucking, you know, all this shit? And it's like, I really don't like social media when it comes down to that kind of stuff. And so, it's like, the unplugging is, like, real right now, dude. It's, I think it's really necessary for our soul journey to not be so intertwined with other people's lives. That you got a fucking life to live, and you got to fucking get your own shit on point. You know what I mean? And we don't need to be worried about what the fuck Tom, Dick, and Harry did for fucking lunch and fucking vacation daily. You know what I mean? And like, it's just weird. It's just weird. It's just weird that we're. It's just like, and then, you know, obviously you go into public spaces, and it's just like fucking everyone's necks are bent down, dude. And it's like, I know this was not the plan, dude. I know this is not like, what is this about, dude? Why are we all, you know, they're calling it the singularity, dude, where everyone is just like getting plugged in, and I think that I think it's harmful to our soul journey. I really do. I think that it's taking way too much time out of my day. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I'm like trying to allocate a certain amount of time where I like go on social media and get the fuck out of there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
because I want to see what this I miss the old world, dude. Like, I've been talking a lot about like how like I used to think like for the longest time, I'm like back around like 2003 or something like that, you know, 2005, you know, life changed, you know what I mean? It was like, well, yeah, it's because that's when I got my smartphone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, life changed, man. It used to be like fucking, you know, I don't know if I'm over romanticizing because I never really had a record player, but like, you know, it's like life used to be so analog, you know, like And now it's just like, it feels like everything is just like fucking a like button and a fucking Yelp review and whatever else. And so, yeah, dude, I've been taking a, like, I'm taking it way slow, dude, on that stuff, because it's definitely harmful to my sobriety. I can tell it. I start getting fun to those old patterns of like feeling like, you know, when I start pointing the finger at society is when I know I'm not doing it right. You know, it's when I start saying fucking this and that, and like, look at, you know, these people are like that, and like, look at everybody's like, you know, it's like I couldn't even resist today. I even posted something that said narcissism, and because I just, all I saw when I went on was just a bunch of people begging for hugs and like fucking like acceptance and like, you know, hot ass chicks wanting to be told they're hot. It's like, dude, you're clearly fucking hot. You know what I mean? Like, why do you need, like, you know, it's like, dude, there's a deeper problem here. You know what I mean? It's like, why? It's because we're all clinging to like what other people are doing, I think, you know? Yeah, it's definitely time to unplug from me, man, too, a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I feel you. And a part of me is like, you know, I have that devil inside me that's like, well, you need it for your career. You need it to further along. Yeah. You need it. And it's like,
fear.
Man.
That's fear.
Maybe I should just be content with where I'm at for an extended period of time before I try to jump the ladder and, like, use other shit to get further, because I'm having a hard time with social media and the connection to reality and everything. It's like, well, if that means that I'm going to take longer to get to wherever the definition of success is, maybe I should take it for my own fucking mental sanity.
Yeah, totally. Dude, it is weird. You know, you get to a place where you start to become, you're like, dude, this is my bread and butter. If I walk away from this, what am I going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think those are valid thoughts to have. It's like, fuck, what would I do if you know, and so, but what if that, like, the whole brings me back to this thing. It's like, well, what can I learn from this? What is it trying to teach me? You know what I mean?
Mm.
If I'm not happy with the situation, what is it trying to teach me? It's saying, okay, you can work strong outside of the internet. You know what I mean? You can start to go into galleries and meet people and say, hey, I'm Cheyenne, I'm an artist, and post, because there's like, you know, one of the things I've learned is there's a lot of motherfuckers not on the internet. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it keeps me loose in this idea that, like, if we closed our interest in shit and we, like, walked away from it, that, like, we would, yeah, I think we would definitely, it would affect us, you know what I mean? It would definitely affect, like, my ability to sell shit or whatever. I think that it's, like, you know, I think that's a lot of fear sort of mentality where we're just like, dude, like, it's our own fears and like, worries, you know what I mean, that, like, we won't be able to make it, and you're like, dude, something got you here, you know what I mean?
Right.
Something got you this far, right?
Right.
And, you know, a little bit of charisma goes a long way in this world, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that, like, I think we just, like, worry too much, you know what I mean? It's like, dude, there's a lot of times you just fucking, you don't future cast, and you just fucking, you know, future trip, and you just, like, one foot in front of the other. That's the one thing I try to do, is I try to think too much about fucking what tomorrow holds, you know what I mean? That, you know, and that, dude, I'm just saying, yeah, it's like, praying for me is, like, my fucking answer, dude. When I talk it out loud and I'm just like, I'm explain the thing I'm grateful for, dude. Like, I'm so grateful for, like, this woman in my life. I'm so grateful for, you know, that I got my dog back. I'm so grateful for all this, dude. Thank you so much, you know what I mean, for helping align a lot of shit in my life. And then, you know, I find that sort of everything sort of falls into place on its own after. You know, it's not like that's the answer, dude. I always call it, like, I gotta meet my people in the middle. You know what I mean? But I think a lot of that is done just by keeping the drink fucking at bay. You know what I mean? It's keeping the drugs away from me. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's a lot of the work for me.
Right. Yeah, my MO has always been, when I feel this way, start to drink again, do drugs again. So then I have the excuse of, like, well, if I hit the reset button, now I get to start over, and people will understand that I'm, you know, whatever, whatever. And it's like, no, I need to just put my foot down and fucking stop and start to do.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, I've heard before that people, like, there's actually, like, you know, that pink cloud thing where it's like, and I think that's what I was probably into for a lot of years, is just quitting and then relapsing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And then, like, being able to get sober again, dude. Because I'm not gonna lie, dude. I'm beginning feeling those first, like, fuck, I was 10 days sober, and I don't post videos and pictures of my face and stuff that much. And I was 10 days sober, and I was all, like, hanging out of a door of a car,
right?
Videotaping my own self, and I was like, "Be it for me,
right, right."
You know, I was like, "Who the fuck am I? Who is that guy?"
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. It's like it's all about the long game, dude. I'm trying to go to the other side of this fucking. I'm trying to end this life with as less resentment, as less anger, as less animosity, as less. I'm trying to get out of here. Full of love, and that's it. You know what I mean?
Damn. That's what I'm going to call the episode, yeah. Getting out of here full of love.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, it's like, dude, I don't care about all the fucking crazy, like, I really am a big, huge, like, I don't care how the fuck, what the fuck people think, dude. Like, at the end of the day, dude, we all want to be loved. We all love outwardly. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this whole, like, checking each other, machismo, and I mean, you know, I don't get it, dude, like, I don't get it, like, I'm like, I go out, and I walk around, and dude ties me up and shit, I just want to, like, be like, dude, you're my bro, man, like, I don't fucking care, like, dude, you can hate me all you want, man, like, we're two fucking blinks of a light, dude, in this fucking outer space, like, get over it, you know what I mean, like, I don't know what the fuck's wrong with, like, I just want to fucking say that, like, when we leave this planet, dude, I think, like, if we leave this planet full of anger, dude, if we're full of pissed off shit, you know, at, like, people we don't even know, also, I mean, dude, like, I really feel like we didn't really get it, you know what I mean? I feel like mm-hmm. we didn't get what we're supposed to come here to do, and I can tell you for a fact, I do not want to come back here. This is, like, I like life, I like planet Earth, it's pretty neat, but I'm like, this is, I'm good on it after this life, I think, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I probably, maybe I say that every single time, you know, and then I'm like, as I get on the other side, I'm like, I gotta go back.
I forgot something. I gotta go back. I forgot my keys.
Lattes and doggy style.
What'd you say?
Lattes and doggy style.
Yeah. Lattes and doggy style. That's what I'm sticking around for, bro.
I don't know, man. It is crazy.
I'm just trying to eat that big ass of life. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, dude. Me too. Outdoors and elbows, dude.
Yeah, dive right in. Man. Fuck, man. Dude, I can't tell you what this conversation meant to me, man, because I've been in a spot, dude, and
dude.
I've really lacked on reaching out and just not just saying how I feel, but listening.
Yeah. Well, dude, I appreciate it, man. I need it as well, too, man, because I live in a bubble. Regardless of what everything I say, I still isolate. I still live in a bubble. I still don't trust, you know, humanity, and I don't trust a lot of shit. And so it feels good to connect with another person, especially a sober person.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I appreciate you calling me up and, like, keeping me to it, you know, because I tried to see you in New York, but that was a shit show. I couldn't believe I was Ubering around Brooklyn, like, I thought Brooklyn, I didn't even realize Brooklyn was, like, the size of fucking Texas, you know what I mean?
Oh, it's huge.
And, yeah, dude, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm just going right on up to your house, you know?
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, 5 hours later.
Yeah. But yeah, no, dude, I'm glad we talked, dude. It's, dude, you know, I mean, human beings, we need each other. Like, sometimes we can lift each other up, you know, like, and so, you know, stick to it, dude. Like, just, you know, just stake your claim. You know what I mean? You came to this planet, dude. This is your birthright to do all the things you want to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need
and
that,
also,
man.
And also, you know, are you living in Brooklyn? You're still in New York and all that stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I'm not gonna say, like, fuck, go move to the country. I just spent, like, it's like a week in the country. It's not for me.
Oh, bro.
Like
Back in August, I went up to a cabin for the weekend, and it was like the most rejuvenating, revitalizing thing in the world. And I came back with all these ideas of how things are going to be different. And then, like, within 2 weeks, I was like, nope, back to the old habits.
Yeah, you were just like, you're all 5G'd out, dude.
Yeah, which is my choice. I just need to make that active choice to go and do that again and have that rejuvenate me. And it's okay if I have to do that a couple times to be reminded. It's not just going to be a one and done, you know?
Yeah. No, bounce it out. Get some nature in you for sure, man.
Yeah. Man, yeah. I am so grateful to you, and I'd love to talk again. And
Definitely.
you know, see where we're at and see what we're working on. And this was just such a needed conversation for me to hear. And I know it's going to help out a lot of other people as well. So thank you, Cheyenne.
Oh, dude, you got it, man. Anytime. Yeah, I'd love to come see another set, too. You're, like, literally the funniest dude I fucking on that whole stage. You first thing you can't think is you find this. I can't remember what you said, but you, like, walked through and it's like, yeah, well, I'll go on Chris Butel. I just sucked dick across America. And everybody was like, yeah, I mean, Seattle cats just did not know what the fuck to do with that shit. And everybody was like, I'm just kidding. Yep, you? Nope.
Yeah. And it was really something. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, dude. I support you, man. I'm stoked, dude. Yeah, give me a call anytime, man. I'd love to talk to you anytime.
For sure, bro.
All right, buddy.
Talk soon. Bye.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What a good talk. It was really something. I'm such a complete fan of Cheyenne and the work he does. And a lot of it is subversive. And a lot of it's just flat out fucking cool as hell to look at. I tell so many people to check out his art. And it was nice to sit and talk with him. Especially, you know, I got reminded, I'm not the only one that goes through shit. This thing that we got inside of us, this disease that wants us to drink and fuck up and ruin everything, makes us think we're the only ones. So it really helps to talk to someone else. Not only talk to someone else and commiserate, but talk to someone else that is on fire with sobriety and finding out a way to get to that next level of consciousness. Without drugs, without alcohol, with creativity. And I love, you know, him looking upon his Native American roots to find spirits and to find things talking to him. And when he says that he prays, he says, blue sky, dude, I need help. That's such a cool way of looking at things. Because everything around us has spirits that we can grab onto. And it's just our choice on whether or not we want to put our hand out and grab onto it. And hearing a talk like this makes me realize the work never stops. The work never stops. You get these external things, but the work doesn't stop. And you got to keep working. Because it's worth it to hear someone, to know where he was at, and to hear where he's headed, and just the gratitude in his voice. Man, that was really something. And I can't encourage you all enough to check out his artwork. Indian Giver on Instagram. Cheyenne Randall is his name. I'm such a huge fan. I give his info out to so many people for them to check it out. If you want to check me out, come to Caroline's on Broadway. Wednesday, December 19th, 7:30 p.m. Promo code Ian for $10 tickets. It really means a lot to see you there. Come say hi, share a joke, have a smoke. And hug someone you love. Enjoy every sandwich. I love you. Bye.